This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Imagine scoring a backstage pass for Paul McCartney's latest concert tour, an all-access pass to watch the sound checks, the VIPs and the VVVIPs eager to have a picture snapped with Sir Paul, the ex-Beatles emergency manicure to replace a broken nail so he could pluck his guitar, and the back-breaking work that goes into producing a three-hour theatrical extravaganza with music spanning four decades.
Lady Madonna.
You can see and read about all of that in a new book. It's a behind-the-scenes look at life on tour called Each One Believing, Paul McCartney on stage, off stage, and backstage. McCartney sat down to talk to us about touring after 60 and how he chose the songs for the concerts.
What I did was I sat down at home and I imagined that if I was going to a concert, what I like to try and do is visualize the whole thing. So I put myself in a nice seat in the hall, and I imagine the curtain going up, and I think, okay, what do I want them to sing?
I'm going to turn the tables on you. You can imagine, you can visualize what it must be like to sit in the audience and watch Paul McCartney, but the audience has no idea what it must feel like to be Paul McCartney playing these songs, and in some cases, playing songs live, performing them live for the first time, Beatles songs that you'd never performed actually live with the four of you together.
Yes. The thing about that is that if you do something new, it's obviously nearly always a new song, it's new material, and that's a little difficult for an audience. But in the case of these Beatles songs, for instance, on that tour I was doing Hello Goodbye, and we were opening with that, turned out to be a great one to open with, you know, just virtually saying hello to the audience. But it was a song that, as you say, I'd never done before live. I'd just made a record of it. That had gone on the shelf, that had gone in the shops, and that was sort of the last I heard of that song.
I say hi, you say no, you say why, and I say I don't know. Oh no, you say goodbye, but I say hello.
So it was a great joy for me to look at these songs and rediscover them, because I have to relearn them. I don't remember them. People assume that I remember all these, but I've written too many. So I've got to look at them. I've got to listen to the record and go, ah, that's how it goes. Oh, I see. That's what I play on bass, you know. But everyone knows it.
Out of college, money spent, see no future, pay no rent. All the money's gone, nowhere to go. And this is the bit where I don't know the words, but I don't think I'm even gonna bother to try and learn them before the end of the tour.
One of the things that the critics noted about this tour is that you sing most of these songs in the original tempo and in the original key, and that's really amazing. I mean, you go to a lot of concerts and you see people who've been singing for years, and not many people can actually do that. And I'm wondering if that's is that good genes, or at some point did you make a deliberate decision to try to protect your voice for the long haul?
It is good luck. I actually don't do anything. I'm terrible. I don't do a lot of vocal warm-ups. I was talking to someone about this the other day, and my theory is that singing is largely psychological. If you think you can sing, you can, kind of thing. And it certainly is this way for me. That as long as I just think, yeah, sure, you know, we can do this one, that I just go to the mic and I sing it. And, you know, he said, touching wood, it's there.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life. You were only waiting for this moment to rise.
In a live performance, you're covering a lot of ground in the course of two and a half hours. And when you go from a number where you really belt it out, where you really rock it out, and then you sing, you know, a softer number, something like Blackbird, it seems like that would be really difficult to cover that much ground and on stage.
Well, you know, as I say, I just have always had this ability to switch voices, and I can be doing a sort of quite a raucous song and then go to my sort of softer voice. I used to do Little Richard songs. I used to do, in the Beatles, I did a song called Kansas City, you know, which is a real belter. And I remember being in the studio when we recorded it, and I was having trouble with it. And I'd always talked to John about how I sang it. And he and I were talking one day, and he said, you know, how do you do it? I said, well, it just comes out of the top of my head. He said, that's the nearest I can get to it. I just sort of start screaming, and this voice comes out somewhere. It feels like it comes out the top of my head. So I said no more. But then when I was in the studio having difficulty doing it, John just came down, he took me aside, and he said, now remember, he said, look, it comes out the top of your head, remember? I went, oh, yes, of course, you know, good advice. And I got it the next take. It's just a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
What are your touring plans for 2005?
We, at the moment, are looking at coming to America round about September, October.
I wonder if there's one song that might be on that tour set, the song When I'm 64, if you're thinking about performing that, and if it has any special meaning, as one might imagine it would.
It's getting dangerously close, I must say. If I still have the urge and the energy and the desire to be on tour then, which I suspect I will, you know, because there's no sort of flagging of it, I think that might be the year that I reactivate that song.
When I get older, losing my hair, many years from now, will you still be sending me a Valentine, birthday greetings, bottle of wine? If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
But a funny story with that was, I was talking to some lady. She said, you know, she said, I play piano in an old person's home. She said, and I hope you forgive me, but I play when I'm 64. I said, oh, that's great. I said, that's lovely. I said, it's a great tribute. She said, I hope you will forgive me. She said, I have to change the lyrics because 64 is very young for these people. He said, I have to do when I'm 84.
Send me a postcard, drop me a line, stating point of view. Indicate precisely what you mean to say. You're sincerely wasting away. Give me your answer, fill in a form, mine forevermore. Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Paul McCartney, he spoke to us about the photo book, Each One Believing, Paul McCartney on stage, off stage, and backstage. And by the way, he'll turn 64 on June 18th, 2006.
This is NPR, National Public Radio.